This is Waris Hussein, and you're listening to Gallifrey Public Radio. Yeah?
I'm Anthony Bachman from All Things Good and Nerdy, a geeky podcast part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other fantastic geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
Hey everybody, it's Kier. Listen, I know you're about to listen to a GPR episode that has to do with, wondering where some of the official news is from the BBC about our writers and or directors for Series 12. It's a good conversation. Trust me, I'm a part of it. But as luck would have it, the day we are editing this episode for release happens to be the day that some official word on both of those instances comes about. So I'll tack on a little addendum towards the end of the conversation, so listen through to the end, and we'll have some new news to discuss next week in more detail about this. So there you go. Cheers. Enjoy.
Dialed into Gallifrey Public Radio. We're a podcast dedicated to positive enjoyment of everything in the Doctor Who spectrum. Join us for weekly discussions ranging from Hartnell to Whittaker and well beyond. Your hosts are Jay Witten.
I choose Death by Scotland.
Kier Hansen.
Arun, Arun, Arun.
And Haley Malley.
Darth Vader, he's a villain, right?
We travel through classic and new Who, explore the extended Whovian universe, and play a few games from time to time if we're left unsupervised. Oh, and a word on spoilers. We do discuss recent news, content that has been officially released, and the occasional interesting rumor, but don't worry. If we look too far into the future, we'll give you fair warning.
Welcome to episode 356 of Gallifrey Public Radio, where we worry that our relationship status with the program that brings us all together risks going from hopelessly devoted to it's complicated. I'm Kier.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Jay. And this week, we're going to look closely at what we've been told, what we haven't been told, and what we've been asked to wait to be told by the BBC about preparations for the expectations for Series 12 of Doctor Who. We felt it was worth discussing the impact of the lack of officially provided information and what it might be doing to the fandom at large, given the persistent grumblings of discontent over showrunner Chris Chibnall handling the program.
Yeah, so, I mean, and I want to make sure that we set some sort of baseline for this conversation, because as we alluded to last week, we wanted to talk about the fact that there isn't, as Jay just said, there isn't a lot of official word being handed out. In fact, a lot of the things that people have been trying to say about the production and preparation of the program has been taken down over the course of the last 10 months or so of filming and post-production, which seems kind of odd. But, I mean, it kind of depends on how you look at it, right, or what lens you want to see it through. We just want to say, though, when it comes to as you just mentioned, the fact that people are still a little torn over the way Chris Chibnall is handling the program. Not necessarily saying anything about Jodie Whittaker as the 13th Doctor. Not saying anything about any of the supporting cast, the crew, things of that sort. But specifically about the show running. You know, how the information disseminates, how much is getting shared with the public, how the marketing decisions by the BBC under Chibnall's, I don't really know how much give and take he has in the process, but if he's not really providing them with a lot of material that they can make trailers and teasers and bumpers and things like that out of, then, you know, what does that say? And for those people that are on the other side of the fence that are just saying that he's just, you know, he's torpedoing this whole thing and he's bringing the whole show down and whatnot, is this adding fuel to the fire? So that's kind of where we figured that we would launch from. Doing so in saying, here's what's official, here's what's not, but is relatively easily accepted, if not indisputable. And then what does that tell you? So what do we know officially? Like when we closed Resolution New Year's Day of 2019, which seems like a lifetime ago, it said the Doctor will return, right? That's all we were given. Doctor will return. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, did the that end card on the episode say the Doctor will return in 2020, or it just said the Doctor will return?
Just said the Doctor will return.
Okay. So it was a month or two, or no, it was shortly thereafter that the BBC Director General Tony Hall had said that it was going to be early 2020, very early by his estimation. Now, granted, he was saying that in January of 2019, everything's subject to change. So we knew right up front that we were going to be in for a bit of a wait, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not unfamiliar. I mean, look at the math I broke down for you guys as far as some of the breaks that we've dealt with in the past.
Well, I mean, the only trend that I can really see is the increasing.
Yeah, true. Classic era. There were times when it came to like the first maybe 5-6 seasons of the classics back in the 60s and early 70s, it was like no more than 2 months, because it was just a matter of the production just kept rolling. Their turnaround time was relatively quick because, I mean, this was going straight to celluloid, and they just they ran on and on and on, and there weren't major changes of crew or the way or shooting locations and things. I mean, BBC Studios was what it was. But when we get into the new era, it was 9-10 months, stretched a little bit. But even that.
Well, and that makes sense if you're going to keep your release date around the same time every year, because it's like, you know, 2-ish months of episodes, and then all the time off until you get to that time of the year again, until you get to the last few years when they just went nuts.
Right. And we had, what was it? Was it season, or I should say series 6 or 7 that was
7
split.
That had the break, 7A right. and 7B.
Which kind of threw the whole calendar off a little.
Yeah.
Yes.
But then coming out of that, and that was one of the longest stretches you had. That had from the time you closed Series 7 into coming into Series 8 with Peter Capaldi, at least at that point, that's where you had the 50th anniversary special. So you had Day of the Doctor, Time of the Doctor. So that sat nicely in between to give people a lot of stuff to chew on and, you know, to sort of see out the end of the Matt Smith era and emotionally and with that, and loads in the story to digest and stuff. So it kind of, and we knew there was a change of Doctor. Mm-hmm. So you kind of expected there to be some additional time necessary, I guess, before we got to Deep Breath. The really long break that I saw was from Series 9 to Series 10. That was almost a year and a half. And granted, you had a holiday special in there, but the actual specials that went from Husbands of River Song to Dr. Mysterio, and that was all you had from Christmas to Christmas. You had 12 months of darkness.
Yep.
Yeah, so we've got these longer breaks, the 15, 16-month ones, but they did have specials in them at least. Like, you got something.
Right, right. I think the longest stretch where there was no content whatsoever was that one from Series 9 to Series 10, right, when the only thing you had was the two Christmas specials and nothing in between. And then shortly thereafter, you began into Series 10. And then obviously the transition into Jody and the transition from Moffat to Chibnall as your showrunner was about a 15-month break, but you had a holiday special in there as well, Twice Upon a Time, to be able to see out your previous Doctor. I mean, that was kind of the close of that season, as it was. So, again, understandable. You know, and they had tons of promotional material in the lead-up, because they were really celebrating the arrival of the new Doctor and new team and new TARDIS and new. So they gave us tons of stuff to be able to chew on and play with.
Yeah.
So why does this feel different right
now? Because there's nothing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, the thing is that it's, you don't have anything really exciting to broadcast. You know, it's not the, oh, well, there's a, you know, new Doctor and there's this or there's the other. And it's just, all you have is like, oh, well, we're making the show. There's stuff, but we don't want to tell you the stuff because that might spoil something. So just know that we're making it.
I think part of it is also like, we don't know when we're going to get something again.
Okay. Well, then I guess let's go back to the timeline, because if the last officially sanctioned and stamped upon BBC Doctor Who word of note was the if I remember, I think the last thing I remember seeing that officially came from them was the promotional photos that had 13th Doctor in the Jadoon.
Yeah.
And that was, what was that, like March or April? No, it might even been later than that. It might have been like May or so. So you went from January, where there was a photo of the four of them on set in, I think they might have been in Tenerife at the time, beginning their one of their first production blocks. And it was a big, hey, production has commenced, you know, the big happy thing. And that was like the last on-set photo we saw from the BBC. And then this, you know, and I'm not really sure why. Maybe, I think we discussed at the time that when that the Jadoon photos dropped, it was because they were trying to beat a rumor to the market, I think.
No idea.
But that had been the only sort of confirmed thing that they said was happening. Not when, you know, and then some other suppositions kind of came along as the tabloids tried to take that one apart. But there had been, and I came to find this, I started trying to put these things together, and I'm like, there have been a lot of, you talk about the on-set photos, which are what, you know, I always enjoyed that about the lead up to Series 12. It was fun to see them kind of goofing around in the makeup trailer and things like that. And there wasn't any of that. So I'm like, well, where are all these things? And I looked around, and there were all these photos and mostly Instagram posts, some tweets, but mostly Instagram posts that had been put out there by either supporting crew or one of the guest stars that claimed that they were working on. They were so proud to be working on, you know, this legendary program and stuff. And everything had been taken down. And the only remnants that those things existed were either tabloid pieces that had been written up to say, oh, so-and-so has just, you know, shared this photo, and then they try to, you know, embed the photo, and it just says Instagram has taken, this content has been deleted. So we had stuff from April, where there was a guest star, Jordan Ring. That photo had been taken down. There were some really interesting photos that could have been really interesting about a historical piece they were going to be doing about a World War II piece that had been taken down in June. And then one of their own production assistants had tried to post something about just life on the set. I don't even think it had anything to do with like sets or props or costumes or actors or anything. And that was taken down in July. So what does this tell you about, well, I'll ask, does this make you feel like either Chibnall is trying to keep a really, really tight lid on this for the sake of interest and building intrigue? Or does it smell like suspicion of that there's something worrisome to this that keep it out of the news so that we can keep this under control while we do damage control?
I mean, optimist me wants to be like, no, they're just, you know, they were catching a lot of crap from the last time they're making something. So this time they're just trying to, you know, trying a different tact, seeing if it works better. But yeah, honestly, just the fact that we haven't gotten anything at all, that they've been taking stuff down, like actively avoiding giving us any information is disconcerting.
Haley, would you feel that, I mean, Jay mentions the fact that, you know, going into the previous season, maybe we knew too much, or that it led people to make a bunch of predispositions about what they were going to, what their take was going to be. And that this season, maybe it's a matter of, we want to keep you completely in the dark, so everything is a wonderful surprise. Do you jive with that, or do you see something else to it, perhaps?
I think there are a few times where they gave us too much, like, you know, knowing exactly who an actor is going to play before we get to the episode or something, or like knowing that we're going to see certain historical characters. Like, it might have been more fun if it were a surprise that we saw so and so in the episode. But not knowing nothing is hard too. Like, it's hard to get excited about the upcoming season when you don't know anything.
So we're looking for kind of a sweet spot in, give us maybe, we're not asking for full trailers, but give us more teasers just so that we can have fun with the not knowing.
It doesn't even
webisodes.
Have to, it doesn't even have to be, you know, like pertinent information. It's just, hey, this is, you know, we're on set today or something like that. And it's, you know, just something to show that things are still going on. It's still good. It's just, you know, maybe just the picture of a TARDIS in a field. It doesn't even have to have a caption on where it is, you know. Something to tell us that they're still doing things.
Yeah, let us know you're still working on this. And I have to wonder, and this is something that I've been kind of grappling with. So regardless of whether or not you want to attribute this to the way the show running is being, or the state of the season writ large. As far as, are things going all right? Are they making rewrites? Are they doing reshoots or any of those things? But look at it from a marketing perspective. BBC has to recognize this as a product. This is a product that they have made large amounts of money off of, specifically BBC merchandising and BBC Worldwide. And they can't do that at a time when they're not being given anything that they can push. So while there may be rumors going around that there were on-set photos that they saw Jodie in a different costume, and maybe as those things go around, you have Funko or whoever getting prepared to release, new editions of these figures and so forth, or you get the BBC shop is getting ready to start selling the dark blue 13th Doctor's jacket rather than the light blue and so forth. But because in comparison to like during the Matt Smith and to a certain degree the Capaldi era as well, where it was a matter of you had so much going on from a marketing perspective. You had so much that you could market, that you could put out there, from products to consumables to garments to collectibles and on and on and on. Even before seasons would air, this silence means that there's a cooling off period for a lot of the casual fans. And that's what I'm worried about, is the casual fans that forget that the show is there.
They went to such great lengths to bring new people in. New Doctor, we're not going to have any classic monsters. There's so many things that were designed specifically to attract new viewers. And then they just all of a sudden stop making the show for all intents and purposes.
Right.
And it's just kind of ridiculous to think that this is how we treat new people that we've brought in.
Also, in light of the fact that this is happening while access to the program worldwide is getting more and more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they are not as concerned, which I'm sure they are, about viewership numbers for the season to come, a continued consumption and purchase of previous materials are getting harder to accomplish. If you're limiting yourself to particular streaming platforms and such, I'm thinking HBO Max. News about, while it was awesome that we heard in the contract that in a recent news piece that everything through series 14 was going to be available on the forthcoming HBO Max streaming platform, that's making assumptions that we will be continuing through a season 14. And again, that's not me. I'm a positive. I'm seeing this for season 15. Whatever. Mm-hmm. But that sort of thing. It's like, okay, so you're going to mean that, what does this say for the other streaming platforms? What does this mean for people who are not going to be lifetime viewers that are hoping to be able to see these things without having to go buy another premium streaming service and on and on and on? What does it mean for iPlayer? What does it mean for folks that have been, does this impact folks who are iTunes subscribers to seasons and such? And this nebulousness, while there's no other information from the BBC, it's got to be confusing to the casual. They're like, oh, well, I guess, all right, I came into this thing last season. I met the new doctor. It was kind of cool. I was kind of into it. But now it's just going to be a pain in the neck to try and get this thing. And I've got other shows. I got a queue full of other shows. So I'm going to watch these. Yeah.
So many other shows.
Yeah. So I don't want to be a pessimist, but I think this is really muddying the waters.
Well, one thing that I've kind of been paying attention to lately, and I think there's a single person that has been doing the most good for drawing new people to Doctor Who in the past year is Karen Gillan. And that's simply because she is in so many other things right now. She's got the Marvel people paying attention to her because she's going to all the panels and all the, openings and things like that. And she's becoming a big name in the world of Marvel now.
Mm-hmm.
She's got another Jumanji movie coming out. She's got a lot of projects that she's working on her own. And I know that there are a lot of people, I've actually spoken to a few of them, that are like, oh no, I found out that the girl who played Nebula was in Doctor Who, so I figured I'd check it out. And it's like, when that is the biggest draw that you have to your show, you're doing something wrong.
But also, like, how are they supposed to check it out?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's something that that's a problem we've had ever since the whole Netflix kerfuffle.
Right.
I hate kerfuffles.
So I remember when we went round and round on, you know, first there was the rumor that we thought that BBC was going to be coming up with a global streaming service, right? They were going to take their iPlayer and they were going to make it worldwide. So, and we thought, okay, well, you know, that makes sense for them. You know, they are a network and broadcasting juggernaut, and they've been doing this for a long time. Maybe not necessarily in the streaming milieu, but at least, you know, they know how to hit their market. And then that kind of stepped aside, and then it was do we remain on Netflix? Do we pull it from Netflix? Is it still on Amazon Prime? All right, well, let's taper that down. Where could I get the classics? Oh, don't worry about the classics. Worry about the new stuff. Okay, well, who's going to have the season to come? And then it just got murkier and murkier and murkier. And now, in the past, what feels like about the past 2 years, so many new players have come into the mix that now I would imagine that to a certain degree, unless you're actively seeking it out, you would not stumble upon Doctor Who as a new viewer.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. The thing that they need to do is that the BBC needs to decide, and maybe this is part of what we're seeing, is that they've already made the decision. They need to decide whether they are going to make a show for their British audience that, you know, because it's on BBC, people are going to end up watching it. And they're going to say, nope, if you want to watch our show, it's going to be, you know, you watch it when we air it. It's on iPlayer. You know, this is how you get Doctor Who. Or they need to understand that they have a global audience and they need to start including that in their planning of releasing instead of just, oh, who can we get the cheapest licensing deal from or whatever the case is. They need to figure out how can we reach the biggest audience without breaking the bank. And it seems like they're trying to play the middle ground where they're like, oh yeah, no, we're gonna, you know, all our British viewers get access to all this stuff and we're totally going to treat the, you know, the rest of the world great by, you know, we're putting it on this platform here without checking to see if it actually has an audience or not.
Right. Is that streaming platform even on its feet yet? HBO Max?
Yeah.
I mean, No, it doesn't exist yet.
No. Okay. I wasn't sure when it was slated. I mean, we're talking about this during the week where Disney's about to launch theirs. Like tomorrow, right? So
yes. Does it happen at midnight Eastern? Is that when it's happening?
Nope. 8 hours left from where we're recording. Sorry, they've got a countdown on their website.
Okay. Yeah.
Jay's got
Can
the
we download the apps and stuff yet? I know this isn't relevant to the Doctor Who discussion, but it's important for me to know.
Of course it is. I mean, where else am I going to get my flight of the Navigator? Yeah. Compliance. Okay. So, but I guess we're now back to this discussion of the business versus the execution. So there's, maybe this is something where we're seeing stumbling or perceived stumbling at two points. There's the production and there's the marketing of that production, which in recent years has become part of the enjoyment of the program itself, is enjoying the behind the scenes. We're so interconnected at this point where we want to hear from Bradley Walsh on the set. You know, we want to see him do his stupid, driving to the set karaoke in the van nonsense, because it reminds us that they're doing it, they're having fun, they want to share it with us. And it's a real, tangible, anticipated thing. So if that's the case, and yet we see things like on-set photos being taken down, and the only, and at this point where we are, you know, if it's believed to be, you know, as Tony Hall had said, early 2020, so maybe that's 3 months away. Maybe that's January or so. Maybe it's but if we take it at that, you know, that's the optimistic 3 months away. Okay. Then why is it that we still don't have any official word congratulating so-and-so as being part of the writing team or so-and-so as being a debut director or, you know, these guest stars that are going to add to the buzz about the anticipation of something that is only 3 or so months away. I mean, anything that we know about who's going to be a writer or director other than Chris Chibnall have been coming from all of these set reporters and things that have been digging through or scouring over people's online CVs to try and find out who's guest starring, who's writing, who's directing, who's the AD on this, that, or the other. so that we can find out, oh, well, maybe a year ago when we saw Wayne Yip's CV online say that he was directing a Doctor Who Christmas special, does that mean Christmas 2019, Christmas 2020? You know, because they also credited Lee Haven Jones as working on a Christmas episode for Doctor Who. Is that Christmas 2020? Is that, you know,
even Christmas anymore?
Exactly. Is Christmas even a thing?
Or maybe they were guessing it was Christmas because it's the next episode after the last holiday special. Right. And it's just the first episode of the new series.
Yeah. Because the only thing that I really believe at the moment, because it's one of the few photos out there that has not been taken down, was that there was a fan at one of their filming locations that took a picture of, they saw one of the camera slates, one of the filming slates, and it showed Jamie Himes' name as the director. And this was back at the time when they were rumoring about there being a spy episode that might have Stephen Fry, because he was on set. Not necessarily in costume, but they saw him near a trailer and this, that, and the other. And so, you know, everything now is just this unconfirmed stuff. And I'm just reaching a point, guys, just say, yeah, that's true. Isn't it cool? Just, that's all. It just some sort of official confirmation to say, yeah, yeah, and you're going to love it. A yes and kind of thing.
Yeah. And that would mean the world to Whovians right now, because that would be all. Like, more than we've gotten in the past 5 months.
So, all right. So, which leads us up to present day. In fact, it leads us up to about the past 24 hours or so. And what began as the late October poster that we got, Jodie's silhouette in the doorway.
Probably Jodie.
Probably Jodie. It's just somebody with a
similar... Let's not assume anything.
Yeah. And the Watch This Space. And everyone said, ooh, watch this space. What are we watching this space for? And we waited for a month. And now we have a 15-second video clip that says, watch this space.
Progress, guys. It's moving now.
But upgrade. It gives a date. It says, watch this space on Doctor Who Day.
Right.
November 23rd. 23rd. Yeah. I mean, that's our anniversary day, right? Mm-hmm. So my question to you two... What do you hope to see versus what do you think we'll see?
I think it'll be the sizzle reel.
Like the official, like the punch up.
Like the short one.
Okay.
Like it's just like boom, explosion, alien, space, past. Do, 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 do. Yeah.
Okay. So 20 seconds of overall content and some bumpers.
And then a release date, like when the premiere is going to be. At the end.
With a premiere date. Okay, that's what you think. Yes. If you, in a perfect world, what would you want to see announced?
I would like it to be like 3 minutes and the premiere date, and to know that the premiere date is in like January.
Okay. Okay. Jay?
Yeah, I think pretty much what Haley said. I think it will be the, you know, this will be the sizzle reel that we're hoping for, that the, you know, or that we've been waiting for. That, you know, here's a, you know, a quick thing of the Jadoon and the Doctor facing off and act, you know, in motion, or, you know, here's everybody running down a corridor. Here's Graham complaining that, you know, he's hungry again, and, you know, top it all off with the Doctor facing off with like a Dalek or something like that. Oh, you know,
a couple of guest star reveals.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then at the end, it's like Doctor Who will be back in, you know, X time.
Or they'll say something like the spring.
Yeah. It's probably going to be something vague like that. Is Doctor Who returns this spring or spring 2020?
Okay.
Yeah. And then I would expect after that we would start getting the articles of like so and so is going to do an episode of, you know, like writers, directors, that kind of thing.
About every 3 to 5 weeks or so, they give us another little seed. Okay, so this may be them cracking the lid on the slow rollout of confirmed information.
Yeah, and I really do think that that's what we're going to end up facing. The question becomes then, is it going to be too little too late? Have you already lost the vast majority of your audience, and the only people who are still watching this space are the diehards who are going to be here regardless?
Right. Or the hate watchers.
Yeah.
Who are just in it to watch it and say, this sucks.
It's the people who are waiting for that moment to be like, see, I told you it was all falling apart.
Right. I think that's a conversation for the aftermath. You know, post 23rd, maybe we'll rally around this again and say, all right, what have we learned, or what are we hearing as a result of this?
Was it worth the wait?
I have one thing to sort of a follow up question for you both on what you think you're going to receive. So if you think the expectations are reasonable, that they will give us a Doctor Returns on date, does that or does that not reflect, I was going to say the, but either of the Christmas specials that have been discussed as have already been filmed? One directed by Wayne Yip, one directed by Lee Haven Jones. So does that mean that are they including any potential holiday special? Because I remember quite some time ago, they were talking about breaking off an episode to give us.
Yeah.
I think if we were getting a holiday episode, we'd know by now. Mm. I think it would be like on somebody's, you know, airing schedule, and we would know by now that was happening.
Unless it might be.
There was.
I mean, I would love for it to be the 3-minute reel that Haley alluded to, you know, like all the things. And then at the very end, it's like, Series 12 coming spring 2020. Christmas special this December, you know, like
right.
the double whammy, like it's like, oh, you've been complaining about not having anything here. Here's everything. Mm. Here's, you know, Osama bin Laden's head and Obama's birth certificate all in the same week. You know,
and Trump's taxes. I will say this regarding you were talking about programming schedules and such. If you were an intrepid reporter, I will just say, ask New Zealand Broadcasting what they were preparing their schedules for, because I don't know how much of the information still exists, but there was some eyebrow raising over their programming schedule and their programming director putting information online that should not have been put on. So that's all.
I'm not saying like the programming directors would be putting it out. I'm saying the intern who's fetching the coffee sees something on somebody's desk and tells his friend who's an intern at a newspaper.
Oh, right. No, yeah. Sources close to the BBC have told
us. I just think it would have trickled into somewhere by now.
Mm-hmm. Right. But how many times have we also seen a matter of something like, you know, Canadian Broadcasting or something saying that your DVR has already told you that it's going to be recording such and such on such a date? You're like, wait, I didn't even know the show was coming back.
I love those discoveries.
Right? So, or iTunes says subscribe for the season and purchase begins on certain date kind of thing. So
yeah.
Those things happen. Those slips occur. That's just it. So as far as what we hope we'll see and what we think we'll get, a sizzle reel would not be amiss at this point. And if it is the beginning of the release and the trickle of details, hey, I thought I saw the back of a head that looked a little bit like Stephen Fry, or oh, that looked like the doctor in a Victorian doctor's, like a medical doctor's garb. In that beautiful house, or that was not the same glimpse of a Dalek that we saw on that weird set photo piece of a
plane. Give us something that we can sit there and freeze frame and overanalyze for the next month. That's what we do.
We can
you give us 45 seconds, we turn it into like weeks of content.
Precisely. Let us do the heavy lifting. Just give us the ingredients and we will make you a cake.
See, so I think that's what we'll get in November. And then I think maybe December we'll get like a longer.
The actual like season trailer.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Because it feels like we have this conversation. We just talked about how long the breaks were in previous seasons. And it feels like this at times, even when we do get on-set photos and teasers or promotional photos and things like that. And we still want, oh, but gimme. Tell me when it's coming back officially. Webisodes. But it just feels a little different this time around because it is so quiet and the kibosh has been brought down so hard that I just want to know that we're both still in this relationship, you know? I give and I give and I give.
Yeah, well, and we're just in such an age of open information and ease of sharing information that to not have any information is weird.
Yeah, and it feeds the trolls.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Which is the
really that might be part of it, is there's so much hate spewing about that it would be nice to have something that was not that.
Yeah. So maybe in the attempt to try and keep the trolls and the spoilers at bay, they're actually feeding the trolls through silence that makes them say, see, it's in trouble, see.
Yeah.
They're just giving them more time to stand at the buffet line and say, see, the trays are empty.
Fair. Or it could be that they're like, no, we know exactly how to deal with this, and we'll all be sitting here in a couple weeks' time being like, I did not see that coming. Like, this is the
those
greatest thing ever.
Bastards.
And exactly.
The weeping angels are back. Say, still to this day, voted the most desirable adversary to bring back. Classic or new. People want to see more. Even after Angel Bob, they still want to see.
I found Angel Bob less offensive than the weeping Statue of Liberty.
No, because I kind of like the idea of New Jersey having to sit there and stare at it. Don't move.
I'll be super happy to have the angels back if it's because they're going to resolve the stuff in class.
Oh, jeez, yes.
Yeah, right? Oh, even just a name check. You say, well, after we cleaned up all that mess at Coal Hill, that'd be all I needed. Ram would come running through on his one good leg. And anyway. Okay, everybody, it's Kier one more time. Just as I was saying back at the beginning of the episode here, we have had an official announcement from the BBC about the Series 12 writers and actually directors that are going to be tacked on for the upcoming season. Now, we'll go into this in further detail next week, but I will make sure that we include the link to these articles so that you can get a chance to look over the news about Nina Metivier, Maxine Alderton, Charlene James, Ed Heim, Pete McTighe, Vinay Patel is back, all the good stuff, Lee Haven Jones, you know, some of the names that we were actually just rumoring about in our discussion just a few minutes ago. So nice to see that we were on the right track for a few things, but we'll go through all the official word on it as part of our news block next week. So we'll see you then. Just to let folks know, as we are recording here, we are 2 weeks away from what I would say is, hey, Elihu is back, but it's not really. It's a little different. It's consider it condensed. It's a, what's the term I'm looking for here?
Travel sized.
It's travel sized. Yeah, it's a little bundle of Elihu. They are presenting their condensed version of what they're calling an unearthly convention. So it'll be happening. It's a 2-day rather than a 3-day. It's November 23rd and 24th. Still there in Long Island, New York. I will see hopefully a large contingent of our listeners there, but not too many because limited to 500 tickets. So, but we'll have a lot of our usual suspects. Paul McGann, Bethany Ashbrook, Fraser Hines. We'll have our usual loads of fun. I'll be hanging in the vendor area for most of the weekend, talking up the Hoovian Running Club. So come chat with me there if you're coming by. But I'll be doing a panel or two with Drew Meyer of Who and Company. And on Sunday, with some book signing stuff for the folks who contributed to one of the Outside In compendiums. This one happens to be the Angel and Firefly compendium that was published this past year from Outside In. So, yeah. So if you're going to be coming to the con, come hang out, say hi, see me at the bar. I'll be there beating celery sticks like it's going out of style. And yeah, there you go.
All right. Well, so next week we'll be coming back with our classic rewatch, The Androids of Terra.
Yeah. So nice pastiche of the king is in trouble. Let's find someone to stand in for the king. But we're doing it with androids because why? I like it. I think it's a fun story. I'll be very interested to see Haley's take on this one as far as the way they are handling what is the underpinnings of a historical political piece done in a sci-fi pastiche and how often she falls asleep.
I never fall asleep. I just forget to watch the episode.
Or you just watch it at 1.5 speed.
Right.
Sometimes. Well, and Netflix can't stop me.
Power to the people. This has been episode 356 of Gallifrey Public Radio. Until next week, this is Jay saying, all right, everybody, just hold on. I am going to say something. Just keep listening because something is going to get said eventually.
And this is Kira saying, no, baby, baby, it's not you. It's me. I got to work some things out. I'll get back to you soon. I promise.
And this is Haley saying, I had some great breaking news about Series 12 to put in this spot, but the BBC made me take it down.
We'll see you guys next week.
I'll see.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Join us each week for new episodes. We love getting feedback from listeners, so don't hesitate to share your thoughts with us. You can email us at feedback@gallifreypublicradio.com. Tell us on Twitter @GallifreyRadio. Or on Facebook at facebook.com/GallifreyPublicRadio. You can also leave us a voicemail for inclusion in future shows at 210-802-1477. That's 210-802-1GPR. You should also go to GunnaGeek.com and check out lots of other high-quality geek-centric shows, or visit forums.GunnaGeek.com to talk about anything geeky with us or the community.
Public Radio is copyright 2019. And on Z. See you next week.